as you all well know, I am a very big proponent of health and wellness. Anything that can help you be the most efficient and most optimal you can be, that can help you in your day-to-day, is all about positivity, and that's what Be Terrific is about. Far too often, we look to prescription pills and processed foods and drinks when the remedies that we're looking for are right there in nature, at our local vitamin shops and our supplements, and we can get those answers not always from doctors, but nutritionists. And that's what we have here. I have with me today Jacqueline Jacobson, a nutritionist who helped me personally find some things that I can help me find some supplements and some vitamins that helped me in my day-to-day function. And it's been working great for me. Jacqueline, how are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for asking, Kevin.
Thank you for joining us here today.
Thanks for having me.
Now, I met you a few weeks ago. I believe it was about a month ago at the vitamin shop.
That's right.
I was having issues with energy. I was trying to stay away from the caffeine and the coffee. And I was trying to find more natural remedies to kind of help me get focused and help me be energetic throughout the day. I have lived a very busy lifestyle. I really get time to sit down and take a breather. So I need things to help me on the go. Sugar obviously makes you crash, and coffee you become reliant on. And then I went to the vitamin shop just trying to find vitamins and things that I thought would help me. And you happen to be there giving health consultations. So you are a nutritionist full-time, are you?
I am.
What led you to that?
Oh gosh, that's a loaded question. My pathway to nutrition has been a lifelong one. When I was younger, I was diagnosed with anorexia, so I dealt with an eating disorder, probably from the age of 12 to 18. So it was a pretty lengthy time in my life, going inpatient, outpatient, therapy, all kinds of different things, a couple relapses, and you know, just really battling with my relationship with food. And when I went away to college, I kind of let it all go, got my confidence back, and gained a lot of weight back, probably upwards of 200 pounds.
Wow.
So been on both ends of the spectrum, so underweight and overweight. So I can really relate to a lot of my clients that have gone through, you know, either experience in their life. And my second semester of my freshman year in college, I decided I needed to make a change. I was like, I can't live like this. So I started exercising more. I, you know, changed my diet, and not drastically, just started eating healthier, more fruits and vegetables, getting grilled chicken instead of fried, making small changes that were easy for me to make. Ended up losing around 70 pounds in about 6 months, and was feeling awesome. Fast forward to age 20, I was paralyzed. I had an adverse reaction to a vaccine and contracted Guillain-Barré syndrome, which is an autoimmune disease that attacks the peripheral nervous system. So it's ascending paralysis. It'll start in your feet and work its way up all the way into the cranial nerve, so all the nerves in your face. So it kind of looked like I had Bell's palsy for a while. And I was unable to walk. I couldn't speak for a while. I couldn't feed myself. I was in a hospital bed for a couple months, you know, dealing with that and kind of going through the treatments that they have. So it took me about a year to recover. So learning how to walk again, how to write, lots of occupational and physical therapy. But just really learning how to do basic tasks that people really take for granted on a day-to-day basis. And I think that is truly when my mindset shifted. Because when I was in college, I was pre-law. And I was getting ready to take my LSAT and, you know, applying to law schools. And mindset completely changed. So I ended up graduating college with a bachelor's degree in psychology and philosophy. Took a little break after I graduated just to work and save up some money. Worked in the financial realm for a little bit, did a little bit of HR recruiting, kind of fell into those positions, and ultimately saved up money to be able to go after my master's degree in nutrition sciences. And I actually just graduated August of 2016.
Congratulations.
So thank you so much. So my pathway has been, like I said, a very lengthy one. After I had recovered, I became a certified personal trainer, started training clients for about 2 or 3 years, but was finding that there was something missing. Like, there was some piece that I felt needed to be added into the fitness arena, which obviously was nutrition for me specifically. So after, you know, getting my certification and training for a while, that's when I decided to go after my master's degree. And also started competing in bodybuilding competitions, specifically the bikini division. And I started that in 2015. So far I've competed in 2 shows and placed 3rd overall in both. So really proud of that accomplishment. Thank you. Pushing your body to that next level. Ultimately was found by my current manager, Laura Edwards, last year in, I believe it was July of 2016. Went through the interview process, got hired by the Vitamin Shop, and here I am today sitting with you.
Wow. Well, obviously, you battled a lot of adversity on your way to becoming, placing 3rd and being a nutritionist and being in the position that you are in today. Mm-hmm. I mean, wow. I mean, was the moment when you were in the hospital, was that the final tipping point? I mean, obviously, as you mentioned, you battled anorexia early on. You did balloon in weight earlier in college before going into health veggies and fruits and things to bring yourself down. Mm-hmm. And then you got hit with another roadblock after the vaccine. Mm-hmm. Was it, all of it together, or was it the after the vaccination and what that put you through, was that what sparked it and said, you know what, this is my path?
I think it was a culmination of everything that had happened over my lifetime up until that point. I think just like with nutrition and when my clients or anyone really is having an issue, it's never just one thing. It was a lot of compounding factors, I think, that kind of led me to where I am today.
Wow. I mean, okay, so how long did it take you before you were able to actually get certified? I know that you went through the process and you just completed in 2016. Mm-hmm. Is that a 3-year thing, 2-year thing, or was it a month's process?
So I was working full-time when I started my master's degree. I finished it in 18 months, okay. So no breaks. I did the spring and fall semesters. I also did summer and winter semesters. Really wanted to get it done so I could get into the field. My passion for this is limitless, to say the least. So I was really, really ready to get into the field.
That's awesome. So do you take on clients personally through your own, like do you have like a blog or a website, or is it through the Vitamin Shop alone?
So I do both. So I have my own private practice, which I just started last year. It's called Lifestyle Nutrition LLC. And you can find that information on liveloveliftonline.com. And that is my blog as well. So I post fitness tips, nutrition tips, recipes, and then obviously all my information for my counseling services is there too. And then, of course, I work for the Vitamin Shop, where we met initially, for a really, really great program called the Spark Program. So it's kind of two-sided. So there is the one-on-one consultation side where clients have the opportunity to meet with a nutritionist and sit down with me for around 30 to 45 minutes, go through an initial intake form, get some medical history, get to know their eating patterns, any health concerns, and more importantly, goals that they've set for themselves. And then I kind of walk them through that process as I walked you through it. And then we also have workshops, which are huge for us also. We have vendors come in from brands that we have in the stores, and they will present on a topic that is nutrition, food related, supplement related, like probiotics, or vitamin related, or like a certain nutrient that people are very interested in. And that's been, you know, so instrumental to the program as well.
Wow, that's that has to be fulfilling to be able to help people, you know, become their best versions of themselves that they can be. Do you have any, like, obviously without naming names, do you have any clients where you specifically impacted their lives to the point where you've seen drastic change in either even mental well-being?
Oh my gosh, I have a few. I remember one client that I met in one of my stores, and he had come in and he was white as a ghost, sat down, was like, let's get to business. I need to talk to you about this, this, that, and the other thing. And he was very focused on fat loss specifically. He worked out 7 days a week, was up at 4 a.m., had a very busy work schedule, but just wanted to drop those, you know, few percentage points of body fat. And we went through the intake form and we got to his dietary patterns. And I found that he was eating 8 times a day, but also eating very minimally. So not eating enough to sustain his activity level. So that signified to me, okay, well, now I understand why, you know, your skin is lacking color and, you know, you're a little irritable when you're sitting down with me right away before I even open my mouth. So we kind of, you know, talked through what his goals were and what my recommendations would be as well, both dietary and supplemental. And we got him on a really good supplement and dietary plan, came back to meet with me for a follow-up. I think it was 3 weeks afterward at the time. Color in his skin, much better attitude, more positive. He didn't even let me sit down, came over, gave me a huge hug and said, "You've changed my life." Wow. And for me, that was probably within the first 3 weeks of my employment with the Vitamin Shoppe. So that was very impactful for me, to know that I could make such a positive change in someone's life just by talking to them, hearing them out, and, you know, kind of getting them on the right track nutritionally. So I think from then that really just drove my passion even more. And I give as much, if not more, effort to every single person that I meet with afterward.
I mean, you really are providing a great service. You are helping mm-hmm. people feel better about themselves. Mm-hmm. And the people around them are noticing this, and they're feeling better about being around these people. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's no more fulfilling for me, myself personally, to have helped somebody in anything that they, you know, that they either lacked confidence in or didn't believe in themselves in or mm-hmm. just needed help. So I can relate to how fulfilling of a feeling it is to help people. Mm-hmm. You mentioned that he was eating like small portions 8 times a day, mm-hmm. but he wasn't eating, I guess, enough to mm-hmm. sustain
his activity.
Mm-hmm. But yet he had weight issues. The perception is that usually the more you eat, it's the more weight that you'll have, mm-hmm. not the less you eat. Mm-hmm. So I find that interesting. Is that something that most people think too as well, that that more food is fat and less food is...
Yeah, so I think there's a common misconception that we've kind of been fed as a society, that if you eat less, exercise more, you'll lose the weight, you'll look the way you want to, and you'll feel fantastic. And that's just not, you know, reality. So when the body is a very adaptive thing. So when you are trying to lose weight, people instinctively think, okay, calories in, calories out. If I lower the amount of calories and I increase the activity, I'll lose weight. Yeah, you will initially. But then, and I'm sure you've heard this too, everyone plateaus. They hit this roadblock where they stop losing weight, and then eventually the weight starts creeping back up on the scale. And they're like, well, what am I doing wrong? Like, I must be eating too much still. Like, I need to, you know, cut my calories even more. But what people don't think when you're, because they're not thinking forwardly, is, well, your calories can't go to zero. You can't not eat because...
You have to have something in
exactly
there.
Exactly, right. To sustain, you know, just life in general. I think the misconception is, you know, let's cut calories, I'll lose weight. But what you have to actually do is help your body adapt to a higher calorie intake. So your body wants to burn that food. It wants to use it for energy. So if you're going to the gym and you're exercising really hard, I mean, you need to feed your body. What people end up doing is when they undereat is that their body will adapt to that lower calorie intake. So the body is, like I said, a very adaptive thing. So it will go into survival mode and say, hey, for this amount of time, you've been giving me this intake and it's not enough. So I've got to take energy from other processes in the body to kind of sustain life in general. So like your brain function, your heart rhythm, and just basic movement and being your awareness. And where energy tends to come away from is your immune function. So people tend to get sick pretty frequently. Brain function, so you'll have a lot of forgetfulness, memory recall issues, brain fog, and digestive issues. So you'll have bloating, you'll have gas, you'll have constipation. You may even have like a sense of fullness very, very quickly because you're not digesting the food like you're supposed to be. A lot of people tend to describe like a knot in their chest when they eat. Mm-hmm. And that's a really common symptom that I've noticed with under eating as well. So there is a term that is used in the bodybuilding community a lot. It's called reverse dieting. And competitors use that when they're coming off their prep diet and introducing more calories, more fats, more carbohydrates to readjust the amount that the body is burning for energy. And in that process, you actually teach the body to burn more calories efficiently, you gain more muscle, and you're able to eat more, which who doesn't like to eat more?
I mean, yeah, you're absolutely right. It's funny, you don't often hear that under-eating is such an issue. You don't hear about the domino effect, about the different things that it affects. Mm-hmm. Like you mentioned, it leads to brain fog and forgetfulness and things like that. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't think so. And it's unfortunate because a lot of people have this belief that if you under-eat, you're able to lose the weight mm-hmm. and get thin and actually get healthier, when it's actually the complete opposite. You're actually suffering at different points in different parts of your body, mm-hmm. Which is amazing. I'm really happy that you mentioned that, and I'm hoping that people definitely took away from that, and people who are doing that are stopping that and looking into doing it the right way. Mm-hmm. What is your number one, I guess, or would you say that issue that people come to you with? For the most part,
weight loss, which is a really broad statement. So when people come to me typically and they say weight loss, I say, well, do you mean fat loss? Because weight loss could mean muscle mass, it could mean fat, it could mean water weight, it could mean so many different things. So I kind of change the perception of what their goal is a little bit and say, okay, fat loss is your goal.
Okay, and I guess, let's say they do, I'm guessing that most of the time it is fat loss that they're trying to remedy. Mm-hmm. What do you usually recommend for fat loss?
Oh gosh, it all depends.
Obviously, the United States is known as being one of the most overweight countries in the world.
Unfortunately.
I think number one. I think we're starting to make a turning point because more people, especially in the millennial generation, mm-hmm. The younger generation, is making more of an effort to eat healthier. They're more aware of what's in their foods. We're going more organic mm-hmm. and things of that matter. Mm-hmm. So what do you usually recommend for others who may not be as aware, or people who are trying to, you know, fight the weight and fat loss?
So the very first thing that I ask people is, are you stressed? You know, what is your stress level? Are you sleeping well? Do you have any memory recall issues? Are you having any issues with, you know, regularity, going to the bathroom? If they have, you know, at least one of those symptoms, then I'm thinking, okay, the body's really stressed. So to me, that'll signify, all right, so you've got elevated cortisol levels. And cortisol is a hormone that's produced by our adrenal gland. So they're right on top of our kidneys. And they pump out cortisol when we're in a stressful situation. The difficult part about that is that the body can't tell the difference between stress from getting chased by an animal or stress, oh, I've had a really bad day at work. All it knows is that I want to get out of the stressful situation. So with any hormone, they're only supposed to come in short bursts. But if you have elevated cortisol, so your stress hormone, the body is in a chronically stressed state. And when you're in a stress state, your fight or flight response kind of takes over. So the adrenals, like I mentioned before, are controlled by the sympathetic nervous system. And then you have your thyroid, which is right up here, which is controlled by your parasympathetic nervous system. So you can think of it like thyroid, rest and digest, adrenals, fight or flight, your stress response. So when one is overactive, the other is underactive. So if you're chronically stressed, your thyroid's going to be underactive, so you're going to have poor sleep, so poor rest, poor digestion, again, rest and digest. You're also going to have all the symptoms I mentioned before, the flatulence, the bloating, the constipation, because that isn't your body's primary initiative at that moment. It's get me out of this stress. So it's going to take energy away from things that are not super important to try and help you get out of that stressful situation. So the first thing that I usually recommend to people is assess your lifestyle. Is there a way that you can take like 5 or 10 minutes out of your day in the morning or at night to meditate? Just be it, you know, in a quiet space just for yourself. Reading is wonderful for lowering your cortisol levels. Journaling, writing it down, not typing on your computer or your iPad or whatever.
Writing specifically,
right. Because the blue light that's emitted from televisions, cell phones and laptops, iPads, things like that, can actually increase your cortisol levels and also disrupt your melatonin production. So it can actually disrupt your sleep as well, which makes you more stressed out.
Wow.
So it just kind of aggravates the issue already. So lifestyle is probably the number one thing that I like to address. The second thing, obviously, is their eating patterns, right? So again, there is something that as a society we've been taught, you know, the fear of fat. Fat will make you fat. And that, you know, that shouldn't be the trend. And now with the new dietary guidelines that came out recently, it's moving more toward low sugar, not low fat, which I am very happy to see as a nutritionist. But a lot of people still have that fear of, well, if I eat fat, then I'm going to gain weight, and that's not what I want. Like, I'll just, you know, eat a lot of carbohydrate and a lot of protein, and then I'll be fine. I'll keep the fat really, really low. But they're usually grabbing those non-fat or low-fat snacks that you see on the shelves in the supermarkets. And when you take fat out, fat is what gives food its flavor, its texture. So they need to supplement it with something. Okay. And what do they usually supplement it with? Sugar, to make it taste good. So you're having an increase in sugar consumption, lower increase of fat, but then higher increase of belly fat and weight gain overall. So that's typically a pattern that I see with a lot of clients that have a weight loss goal.
Wow. So pretty much it's lifestyle is a big, big focus.
Huge.
Of course, as you said,
mm-hmm.
and eating habits.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a third element there, or are those the main two? What about fitness, like working out and going to the gym? Can you, I guess, attain the goals of losing fat and becoming healthier overall without going to the gym on a day-to-day basis? Because a lot of people now with the work week and,
mm-hmm.
and working 40 plus hours a week,
mm-hmm.
find it really hard to get to the gym like the way they would like.
Mm-hmm. I think fitness is a very important piece. I think that the focus initially should be on changing the dietary patterns. Fitness is supplement to one's nutrition. Your diet is 80% of the battle, maybe even more than that.
Wow.
You can't outwork out a bad diet. And I know that there has actually been a trend called flexible dieting, where on a lot of Instagram profiles, a lot of bodybuilders or just people in general in the fitness community will show, oh, look, I'm eating ice cream and Pop-Tarts and cookies, and I'm, you know, so shredded and lean and toned. But okay, so yeah, you're killing it in the gym, but what do your insides look like? What do your arteries look like? That's what I really care about. You know, what does your longevity look like? Yeah, you look good right now, but as you get older, you're gonna have a really difficult time staying healthy. So fitness, yes. I encourage people to take small steps. So set small achievable goals for yourself to attain your ultimate goal. Because I feel like if you focus on the bigger picture with fitness, it gets very overwhelming for people. And it's very scary walking into a gym if you have no idea how to use a machine or if you've never been in a gym prior. So a lot of times I'll tell people just to focus on the nutrition first, and then we can kind of talk through the fitness piece as well.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting. And I'm sure there's also like specific vitamins and supplements that you have that you recommend probably for the most part for weight loss.
Mm-hmm.
And there's other things I'm sure people come to you for, like just maybe overall mind sharpness, being able to be focused, or energy issues and things of that sort.
Mm-hmm.
But we're gonna save that after we get back for break and continue this conversation. I have Jacqueline Jacobson,
mm-hmm.
I'm sorry,
it's
Jacqueline
okay.
Jacobson with me. We're talking about health and wellness, and she's giving us some tips, giving us her background on ways that you can become optimal and efficient for yourself and become overall better. Here on the Michael Archer Show on Be Terrific, I'm Kevin Foley, your host, and we'll be back right after this. Welcome back to the Michael Arthur Show on Be Terrific. I'm Kevin Foley again here with Jacqueline Jacobson. She's been gracious enough to join us to talk about health and wellness. I've been learning a ton of new things. I know it's been real useful to the Terrifics. It's been real useful to Adam as well, because we're very big on in health and wellness as well. I have so many questions, I don't even know where to begin. So I guess I'm just going to jump right into it and see where it leads me, see how it flows. Jacqueline, as we were talking about, you mentioned, which was surprising to me and Adam, how big diet plays a factor into overall wellness. It doesn't surprise me Of course, I know that you can't really get fit and get healthy without addressing the diet, but I didn't know that it played such a big role, as high as 80%.
Mm-hmm.
When people come to you and they want to get fit and you tell them about dieting and lifestyle, what are some of the top supplements and vitamins that you recommend to them to kind of like remedy these things?
Okay, so right off the top of my head, I have three foundational supplements that I always recommend if they're not taking them already. A fish oil, specifically krill, a probiotic, and a multivitamin that is raw food based.
Oh, is there a specific multivitamin that's raw food based that you think is best?
I mean, at the vitamin shop, we carry a lot of great brands that are raw food based. So as long as the vitamins originate from fruits and vegetables, any brand that makes the vitamin like that is fine.
What about myths? Because the thing about fish oil, at least from what I've heard, I heard that fish oil isn't actually that great because while it's in the capsules,
mm-hmm.
the fish oil can go bad.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how true this is, but mm-hmm. the fish oil can go bad while in the capsules. So it doesn't really do what it's supposed to do
mm-hmm.
if you're taking it, you know, months afterwards.
Yeah, so the manufacturer for, I believe, any of the companies that we carry will have an expiration date on the packaging. And our health enthusiasts in the stores are phenomenal at making sure that we have quality product on the shelves at all times. So they're constantly, you know, being very aware of expiration dates and what needs to be replaced on the shelf. So we're offering the best product to our customers. So I think it's also due diligence of the consumer to make sure that you're checking the box and seeing like the expiration, just to make sure that you've got, you know, fresh fish oil.
Check those dates, guys.
Exactly right. You kind of have to be aware of, you know, new research that's coming out. I've been hearing a lot of new research coming saying that fish oil is bad and it can, you know, lead to all kinds of inflammation in the body and this, that, and the other thing. I like to look at research cumulatively. So if a new research paper comes out, I'll definitely read it. Like, I want to stay up to date on all the trends, on all the new information that's coming out. But I also want to have the chance to compare it to previous research. I also want to see who's funding the study, because that's a really big thing. So you can't always take what you're reading to heart. You kind of have to take it with a grain of salt, especially with supplements, because there's constantly new research going on, constant studies going on. So you kind of have to keep an open mind.
Definitely. Motives have to be looked at and questioned. I remember not too long ago about hearing how Coca-Cola was funding a study to support that soda was actually good for you,
mm-hmm.
which I'm gonna jump out on a limb and say is ridiculous, you know? But obviously, depending on your motive, you're going to lead something mm-hmm. In the way that you want it to go. So I'm very happy that you debunked that myth about fish oil. But mm-hmm. you said krill specifically is what's best.
Yeah, krill specifically for two reasons. So you don't have that regurgitative effect of that like fishy taste. A lot of people have that with other types of fish oil. And also krill feeds on plankton. Plankton is a plant-based source of omega-3, and that's all they feed on. When you kind of get into like salmon and cod and fish, larger fish, they feed on other fish and other you know, things in their ecosystem. So krill, I guess I would consider it a cleaner form of a fish oil and a purer form.
Is it better to take the capsules or to take the actual oil? Does it matter?
I haven't read anything that shows a better efficacy either way. I think it's personal preference. I mean, now in a lot of our stores, we have fish oil that's flavored. We have like lemon lime and dreamsicle and, you know, all kinds of fruity flavors. So if you are pill averse, we have options for you to try something different.
What about things like wheatgrass and maca?
Mm-hmm.
These are, you know, powders and ingredients and supplements that I hear about often
mm-hmm.
that are really heavily pushed. I'm not sure if this is the trendy thing
mm-hmm.
or they're actually as good as advertised. What are your thoughts on those?
On those two specifically, I think they're good as they are advertised. Wheatgrass is wonderful for alkalizing the body. It's also great for detox, full body, not just a specific body part. Maca is an adaptogenic herb. So it kind of looks like a yam, and it's ground up into a powder, and you can take it in capsule or powder form. It has a very nutty taste to it. And it's adaptogenic, so it actually helps your body's stress response. So it helps alter the perception of stress so you manage it better.
Wow, ashwagandha is another adaptive
yes.
vitamin,
correct? Mm-hmm. Yeah, ashwagandha is another, yep, it's an Ayurvedic herb.
Mm-hmm. Awesome, that's awesome. So, and you also mentioned, you said you have to address, you know, the diet and the lifestyle before you go into fitness, but mm-hmm. you're not saying that fitness doesn't matter, it's just that the other two just should rank higher on the totem pole as far as
yeah.
things to address.
Oh no, fitness is still very, very important. Absolutely.
So when you are implementing fitness, how much do you recommend the least that you should do as far as hours per week or per day?
I would say 3 days per week. I would say around 30 to 45 minutes a day.
30, 45 minutes.
Yeah, but you're putting your all into those 30 or 45 minutes. You know, when I go to the gym, I see a lot of people walking around, they're chatting, and they're like, oh, I was at the gym for 3 hours. Yeah, you're at the gym talking for 2.5 of those hours. So I think 30 to 45 minutes, when you're really giving it your all, that would be perfectly sufficient.
So it should be high-intensity workouts.
I think it depends on your fitness level. High-intensity can mean a couple different things for people of different endurance levels. But as far as, are you speaking about cardio or strength training?
I guess if you're trying to just overall tone up, maybe lose body fat mm-hmm. and just have higher endurance in general, mm-hmm. what would those, are there like fundamental workouts and fundamental things that you should be doing?
I would say focus more on weight training. So working with the weights and the machines. If you are just starting out and you're very unfamiliar, and if you can afford it, I would recommend getting a trainer or taking advantage. I know a lot of gyms do like a free personal training session initially when you sign up, and taking advantage of that and telling the trainer, please show me how to use like the machines that I'm interested in or the machines that you think would help me reach my goals. So you can walk in there and use them confidently and safely, of course. I also think it's important to, again, focus on increasing the amount of strength training you're doing, because ultimately you'll be increasing your lean muscle mass. And by increasing your lean muscle mass, you're increasing your resting metabolic rate, so the rate at which you burn calories at a rested state. So the more lean muscle you have, the more calories you're burning, the more food you need to intake to maintain that muscle.
So it's definitely weight training over cardio, because a lot of people, this is the thing that happens, it seems like. We already debunked the myth of eating less is going to help you lose fat.
Mm-hmm.
Another one of the myths, I guess, maybe we may debunk now, is the fact that getting on a cardio machine mm-hmm. and running for hours or running for miles on end mm-hmm. is going to help you burn fat. It's actually weight training and lifting weights that help you burn the most fat.
Exactly. Cardio will do it in the short term, but eventually after a certain amount of time, you'll go into the gym, you'll see the same people on the cardio machines, and they never change. Their body stays exactly the same. And I mean, when I go to the gym, I'm going for muscle development. You know, I want to see my body changing. And you'll notice a lot of people who do more cardio than strength training, they lack muscle tone, they lack muscle mass, they look very flat so with their musculature. So you always wanna make sure that you're focusing more on the weight training and muscle development to also keep your body out of a catabolic state. So catabolic just means breakdown. So when you're doing excessive amounts of cardio, you're keeping your body in that catabolic, so muscle breakdown state. So you're actually decreasing the metabolism, which is the opposite of what any of us want to do. So you have to be, you know, very mindful of that.
Awesome. Okay. That's great to know. I know that the Terrifics are making use of this information, and a lot of people are, because for whatever reason, these misconceptions are spread around and people are following it, and it's false. It's mm-hmm. wrong. And you have to be pointed out in the, pointed in the right direction and do things the right way. Mm-hmm. For those who maybe won't be able to afford a trainer or mm-hmm. who still may not be sure exactly what specific weight training exercises they should do, are there like fundamental weight training exercises that you recommend that everyone should do in order to fight these?
Yeah, so again, it matters on your endurance level and your experience with exercise and going to the gym. So for a beginner, I would definitely start with the machines just because they offer you more stability than free weights do. And I mean, there are always illustrations on every machine kind of showing you what to do. But if you ask a trainer, I mean, they should be more than happy to help you learn how to utilize a few machines just in general. You can also do your own due diligence. I know bodybuilding.com is a great resource in showing people how to do specific types of exercise. I mean, I've seen so many great videos on YouTube as well. On my blog, I post a lot of fitness tips regarding working out and strength training. So I think if you find the right resources to use, you don't have to, you know, spend a ton of money to figure out how to get a good workout in.
Yeah, because I always hear, for instance, that like, you should do like squats, for instance, mm-hmm. is a workout that everyone should do mm-hmm. because it works, I guess, all the core muscles in your body. Mm-hmm. I've also heard lunges is because it works multiple muscles. Mm-hmm. Another one I believe is also like pull-ups and dips mm-hmm. are two things that are like essential to kind of like building that foundation mm-hmm. of lean mass.
Absolutely. So every exercise you just mentioned is a compound movement. And compound just means that you are engaging multiple muscle groups simultaneously. So when you're doing a squat, I mean, that's really full body. You're engaging the calves, the hamstrings, the glutes, the quads, the core muscles. So your core muscles on the front, and actually your lower back is part of your core musculature as well. So engaging all of that. And actually there's been a lot of research coming out showing that individuals who do squats show better muscle development overall. So bicep, tricep, chest, shoulders, back, just because it's boosting your testosterone, boosting your human growth hormone, your HGH, which are imperative for muscle growth, repair, and recovery. Strength training also increases your bone density, and a lot of people don't realize that. So even elderly people who you know, are cleared by a doctor and everything like that can grab even light weights and do a little bit of weight training in a controlled environment and increase their bone density, which tends to be, you know, an issue amongst that population as well.
Wow, this is great to know. And you said we can find tips and useful information like this on your blog. Mm-hmm. Is it liveloveliftonline.com?
Liveloveliftonline.com.
Liveloveliftonline.com. Mm-hmm. So guys, you can go there for information on ways to, you know, find workouts that can help you, you know, build this lean muscle that's essential to being fit and in shape. But you yourself, you do bodybuilding as well.
I do.
Wow. So how long have you been doing bodybuilding?
Oh, gosh. I started in 2015. So I guess around 2 years.
Wow. 2 years so far. And how's it been going? How do you like it?
I love it. It's a huge passion of mine. They always say that you either do your first competition and you're like, okay, I feel fulfilled, I'm good, I'm done with it. I caught the bug and I absolutely loved it. I did have a negative experience my first show, just with some bad coaching. You know, I nutritionally went through some, you know, hormonal issues and kind of had to readjust and, you know, resolve those over the year of 2016. So my focus has mainly been, you know, just rebuilding my body, you know, focusing on that muscle development and, you know, increasing that metabolic function.
How long does it take you to train for each, like, you know, each event? Like, how many competitions do you usually, is it like once a month? Well, obviously you've done two in the couple of years you've been doing this. Mm-hmm. So is it once a year? How does that go?
Oh my gosh, there are competitions going on in almost every state across the country. And there's multiple competitions, multiple organizations that host the competitions. So, I mean, in New Jersey alone, there could be like 10 competitions going on all in the same weekend. Or in the same month. So, I mean, your options are kind of limitless. As far as preparation for a competition goes, it all depends on where you are physically at that time when you pick a show. So typically people will work with a coach, and your coach will kind of dictate how long your prep should be. And it depends on what division you compete in. So for me, I compete in bikini, which is, I would say, like the first division. So there's more focus on hamstrings and glute development, and not so much full body. Then you get into figure and physique, and this is women. It's more full body, and their routines are a little bit more complicated, and you need to see a lot more muscle growth in those divisions, so their preps will be a little bit longer. But for bikini, if you're just starting out, I would say maybe a 5 to 6 month prep. And then once you've competed once or twice, and your body's already kind of, you're already at that endurance level, then your preps may be 12 weeks, 8 weeks. It all depends on where your maintenance level is.
Still, nonetheless, a lot of time put into
this. A lot
of
time, yeah. A lot of time and energy.
Do you have anything you're prepping for right now?
I'm not prepping right now. Right now, like I said, I'm just focusing on, you know, getting my metabolism, you know, on track and seeing that muscle development. I get a lot of fulfillment from my workouts in the gym and seeing my strength and hitting new PRs, which stands for personal record. And that truly makes me really, really happy. So right now, nothing in the forefront.
Do you train by yourself or do you have partners that you train with? Or
I train alone. I find that when I'm training, it's kind of, I get in my zone. And the gym is really like my solace. It's where I get all my stress out from the week or from that specific day or, you know, situation that's going on. So I put my headphones on and I just rock it out for, you know, 45 minutes to an hour. And then I walk right out.
So where's, is this, you're doing bikini now. Is that where you want to kind of, like, is that your specific place to stay? Or do you have plans on maybe going up to different forms of body lifting?
I think I would stay in the bikini division, just because the other divisions take a lot of time and effort. And right now, my focus is more our Spark program with the Vitamin Shop and building my private practice. And I'm also in school still, getting my certification to be a registered dietitian with the state of New Jersey. So I've got a lot of stuff going on. So right now, I think the focus is just, like I said, that muscle development and, you know, really increasing the amount that I can lift.
Wow. So obviously, after hearing all of this, I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that want to be just like you.
Oh, gosh.
So take us through your week, your diet, what you're eating on a day-to-day basis, mm-hmm. your routine, going to the gym and everything else. So you wake up, aside from work and everything else, what are you eating for breakfast? How many times are you eating? What are you consuming?
Okay, so I will eat anywhere from, I would say 3 to 5 times a day, depending on how I feel that day and what my schedule will allow. So I wake up, I put on my diffuser okay. with my peppermint and lemongrass essential oil, which I got from the Vitamin Shop.
Nice.
and I make, oh my gosh, probably 8 to 10 egg whites, so it's about a cup of liquid egg whites from a carton.
Okay.
I'll throw some fresh spinach or baby kale in there. I'll make homemade gluten-free pancakes made with coconut and garbanzo bean flour. And then I'll throw a veg in there, like 2 cups of Brussels sprouts or broccoli or cauliflower. Now it sounds kind of weird, but I'm a huge veggie person.
No.
So I think I was predestined to be a nutritionist. So that's my breakfast. And then I'll have that like an hour before I go to the gym. I'll hit the gym. And I go to the gym, I would say, anywhere between, 4 to 5 times a week. And then I have 2 active days. So I'll either go hiking or I'll take a hot yoga class just to kind of still get a little bit of a workout in, but also kind of decompress, let my endocrine system kind of calm down a little bit from, you know, the work week and things like that. Post-workout, I'll usually wait about an hour to eat just because your cortisol levels are still pretty elevated because exercise, though it is a positive stress, it is still a stress on the body. And when you have elevated cortisol levels, you also may have elevated insulin, so you could store what you're eating as fat. So you kind of have to feel your body out, and everyone is so individual, but I've found that that is what works for me specifically. Post-workout, I could have my protein shake, which is a vegan protein with almond milk and like half a banana and maybe like a tablespoon of almond butter. And then I'll throw in like beets or an apple, some sort of fast digesting carbohydrate. And then for lunch, I'll always have a huge, huge salad.
Salad,
yeah, love the greens, honestly. And I'll throw some sort of fish on there, like a salmon, a haddock, a cod, and then avocado. And I'll make a homemade dressing with coconut vinegar, apple cider vinegar, turmeric, and a little bit of lime juice and hot sauce.
Oh.
Sounds kind of weird.
The hot sauce just threw me off.
Just a little bit. Honestly, it's the best thing since sliced bread.
Really?
Oh my gosh, it's so good.
I have to try that.
Took a lot of experimentation to kind of figure out that combination, but it works.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. And I usually make a couple batches of those pancakes, so I'll have that as a snack with the salad. And then for dinner, I mean, it's really similar to lunch. It could be like a fish or a chicken or a turkey. Very rarely pork, sometimes a red meat, like a fillet or something like that. It could be on like a big bed of like mixed greens with tons of veggies, like radish, celery, beets. Oh gosh, radish, celery, beets, bell peppers, onions, garlic, you name it, I'll probably eat it. Or it could be like sweet potato and asparagus or, oh my gosh. I eat so much stuff. Or it could be like a gluten-free pasta, like with marinara sauce with some chicken mixed in, and always a green. So kale, arugula, spinach, tons of it mixed in there. And if I'm hungry later on, which I'm typically not, I'll have like a bowl of oats with some coconut oil whisked in, maybe some egg whites for some extra protein, a little bit of stevia for sweetness, and then top it off with some dark chocolate.
Okay, I was gonna ask you, what's your cheat? Is that the dark chocolate?
Oh my gosh, dark chocolate.
Dark chocolate.
Hands
is the
down. Yeah, at least 80% dark though.
At least 80%
dark. That's a minimum, yeah. Well, my biggest splurge, I would have to say, and it's very rare, would probably be gelato.
Okay.
I'm a big, big gelato and ice cream fan. Doesn't agree so much with my stomach, but if I take a couple digestive enzymes before, I'm usually pretty good.
Okay.
But I would say that's like my one big cheat. I'm a big dessert person.
Big dessert, okay.
Mm-hmm.
And what do you drink? Is it water or do you have juices that you make or how does that go?
I'm not a big juicer. I really focus on drinking a lot of water. I'm a big fan of sparkling water. Specifically La Croix, I think is how you pronounce it, which is really, really good. It's just naturally essenced with, my favorite one is blackberry and cucumber, or some other flavor that they sell, and water. I probably drink about a gallon and a half a day.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
It makes it, I mean, with this lifestyle and the way that you eat,
mm-hmm.
It makes it hard, obviously, to get out, like go out eating.
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of people go through this when they're on a diet or they're trying to, you know, take a healthier path, and then they go out with friends and the friends mm-hmm. want to go out to these restaurants.
Yeah.
And these restaurants a lot of times don't follow these guidelines and don't have, mm-hmm. you know, these healthy foods and drinks for you.
Mm-hmm.
How do you just stay away from it completely, or how do you work your way around that?
No, I mean, a lot of restaurants now are becoming very accommodating, so I really haven't run into an issue, I would say, within like the past 2 years. I try to make as few adjustments as I can for my boyfriend's sake, especially if we're going out together. But I mean, typically if I go out to eat, it won't be frequent, but when I do, it'll be to a nicer place. So I know that the quality of food is better. And I know that they'll be accommodating. Like, I love going to steakhouses. I mean, the quality of the ingredients is really great. They're super accommodating, but they also have a lot of sides that can be a la carte. I mean, they're super accommodating with steaming anything. I mean, I'm not averse to olive oil or anything like that. So sometimes you just got to let your guard down and you just have to eat and enjoy your food and let it be that. It can't overanalyze it. I used to be very much like that, and it did impede on my social life very much so. But now I've kind of been practicing, you know, just going out, ordering what I want, still healthy options, but ordering what's on the menu and just, you know, letting go and let live.
I mean, because you're not eating out every day.
No.
You're obviously leading a very clean eating lifestyle. So the times you do go out, So what if they have a little bit more salt or a little bit more sugar than you usually would take, you know? That's why it's a once in a while type of thing.
Exactly. And there is a lot of research out as well over the past, I would say, 5 years showing that having a cheat meal, not a cheat day, like a cheat meal where you kind of splurge a little bit, actually can enhance thyroid and metabolic function. So sometimes I'll recommend to clients that they have one cheat meal once a week so they can actually boost and kickstart that thyroid and that metabolic function.
Definitely, definitely. That's why they have, and for people who don't go out to eat and maybe who want to eat this way, they have things like Healthy Harvest and some of these online delivery kits that they deliver to you, Blue Apron.
HelloFresh, yeah.
HelloFresh, that deliver healthy meals to you on a day-to-day basis for an affordable price. I've seen them advertised all over my social media, and I'm sure a lot of terrifics have seen them as well. So the options are there.
Oh, absolutely, 100%. I know Blue Apron and HelloFresh, they promote using, like, I believe non-GMO and organic ingredients, which is really, really great, and kind of showing people how to prepare the food and how to handle it, I think allows people to appreciate what's in front of them once it's actually done more. And they see the value and the nutritional value in the food more so than when you just kind of go out or grab something on the go.
Definitely, definitely. So, I mean, you've given us a ton of knowledge here, a ton of information on ways to get healthy, debunked myths, told us about your story, which is inspirational, and the joy that you find in helping people with this, which is also like encouraging and inspirational as well. Where can we get more information about, you know, the services that you offer? And if, you know, some of our terrifics are interested in getting in contact with you for their own consultations and such, how do they do that?
Okay, so there are a couple different ways. So through the Vitamin Shop, you can actually go on vitaminshop.com/myspark session. And on that webpage, you'll be able to book an appointment with me specifically and also book a seat for one of our many workshops that we have going on, which are phenomenal as well. And if you feel like you need a little bit more support and ongoing support, you can visit my blog at livelovelift.online.com and check out my nutrition counseling, and my email, my contact information is all on that webpage.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Ladies and gentlemen, Jacqueline Jacobson here with us. She's been great. I hope you took away useful information. It's impossible for you have not to. I definitely did. I'm always finding ways to be more optimal with my body and mind and more efficient. And as I mentioned, I met Jacqueline a few weeks ago, about a month ago, at the Vitamin Shop, and she definitely was a great help to me. And the information she just provided us and Terrifics and all of you guys out there is also useful as well. So thank you for being here and for joining us.
Absolutely. It was my pleasure. Thank you so much for having me.
It's been absolutely awesome. Well, ladies and gents, that's another episode of the Michael Arthur Show on Be Terrific. You guys know you can find us on social media at Be Terrific TV and join us in the Slack chat. Send your requests to connect@beterrific.com. This show will be relooping on beterrific.com, and you can find archives of it on YouTube soon. Thanks, ladies and gents. I will see you tomorrow again on the Michael Watson Show. Be terrific.